الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The verse that I've just recited, Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, Ya أيها الذين آمنوا, O who you who have claimed to be believers, who call themselves mu'mins, who call themselves believers and Muslims, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, and when you speak and you say something, be straight and be correct in your speech. راستی بات کہو, be straight and correct in your speech. Allah Ta'ala then says, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will rectify your actions and your dealings for you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins for you. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whosoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a person is successful, a very great success. Allah Ta'ala, in this verse is generally recited in the khutbah of nikah, that Allah Ta'ala teaches us a very important thing, that if we want to be true believers, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be an innate quality, an inherent quality and part of our life. And in order for us to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for us to show and to depict and show to people, obviously that's not the purpose, but to show that we really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say something, when we speak, we must be straight in our speech, correct in our speech. As we normally say in Urdu, Zaban. Zaban is our tongue. When you give our zaban to something, we keep to that. We make a promise. We make a commitment. We sign a contract stating so many conditions for our employment or for our tenancy or whatever other situation it be. But we keep to our word. When we have accepted the conditions, when we have made a commitment and we have made a promise, we keep to that. That is a sign of a person fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is how a mu'min and a Muslim should live his life. That is what Allah Ta'ala is showing us in this verse. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will rectify your actions and your dealings. A person, even if it be a non-Muslim, has to then deal with this person. What will he say? This is Islam. This is what Islam teaches us. This is a difference, a marked difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, that he keeps to his word. How many non-Muslims you will find, despite them not even believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't even believe in a God, but they still keep to their word. How truthful and honest are they? And on the contrary, what is the situation of the Muslims? How honest are they in their speech? How do they keep to their word in their zaban? This was supposed to be our quality, but it has went to many of them and is not found amongst us. Allah Ta'ala then says in another verse of the Quran Sharif, أَلْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the day of Qiyamah, that we will seal their mouths, their hands and their feet will speak to us of what they have done. Another verse in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم. On that day, the day of Qiyamah, their mouths, their hands, their feet will bear testimony against them of what they did in this world. There are two verses in the Quran that I just recited. One verse, Allah Ta'ala says, we will seal their mouths. Just their hands and feet will speak. Another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, that their mouths, their hands and their feet will speak. On the outside, apparently, it seems that these two verses contradict one another. But in reality, when Allah Ta'ala says He will seal the mouths, it is in certain stages of Qiyamah. Qiyamah will have different stages. One will be Pul Sirat, one will be the Mizan, there will be different places. On one stage, at one place, Allah Ta'ala will seal His mouths. Just our hands and feet will speak. And at other places, our mouths, hands and feet will bear testimony against us of what we said, what we did in our hands, and what our legs, what places it took us, and what we did with these legs. Allah Ta'ala speaks in the Quran Sharif about Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. That Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, leave aside him being a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one special quality that he had in him, he was truthful in his promises. In Tafsir Jalalain, Allama Muhammad bin Ahmad al-Mahalli rahimahullah states, وَانْتَصَرَ مَا وَعَدَهُ ثَلَاثَ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ حَوْلًا. A person made a promise with him to meet him at a certain place. He waited for that person. That person did not pitch up for 3 days. And according to some narrations, for 1 year. Obviously not waiting at all the time, but every now and again, trying to find that person. Maybe he will remember and come back until he met that person. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in Tirmidhi Sharif, there's a narration, there's a hadith, there's a narration. A sahabi states, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a person made a promise with him, appointment with him to meet him in a certain place. For 3 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam waited for that person at that place. This is what they were true to their tongue. When they gave their zaban to something, they made a promise and a commitment, they kept to it. Which is contrary to our situation today. We claim to be lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We claim to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We claim to be true mu'mins. Where is our zaban today? Where is our tongue today? Where is our commitment today? Where is our principles and scruples today? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam waited for 3 days. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam waited for 3 days, according to one narration, for 1 year, to meet that person to keep to his word. Also Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam made a commitment in his life. When his father told him, Ya Bunayya, Inni arafil manam, Anni azbahuka. Oh my son, I've seen the dream, I'm slaughtering you. Now what do we do? How do we go ahead and how do we continue with this act? He told his father, Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. Oh my father, do whatever you've been told to do. Satajidni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You will definitely find me soon. Insha'Allah, you will find me from those who will persevere. Will keep to his commitment. Allah Ta'ala has instructed you to slaughter me. I will accept it. His father took him to the mountain. We know the entire details of the story. But the lesson for us to learn, he kept to his word. When he said, I will remain in that way, he remained in that way. Even if it was already predestined that Allah Ta'ala will send a ram from Jannah, Ismail, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would slaughter that rather than his son. But they did not know this. If they knew it, where was the test from Allah Ta'ala said? They did not know about this, but still he kept to it. He still went ahead, and his father was about to slaughter him, and we know what happened. But he kept to his word. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. He was truthful in his promises. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Sulh Hudaybiyah took place, the peace treaty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they went for Umrah to Makkatul Mukarramah. From Madinatul Munawwara, they came for Umrah to Makkatul Mukarramah. When they went there, the non-Muslims did not allow them. And they made a peace treaty. Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, in a place called Hudaybiyah. Conditions were made in that peace treaty, in that pact, against the Muslims. That whosoever Muslim from Makkah al-Mukarramah, from Madinah al-Munawwarah, if he has to come to Makkah al-Mukarramah, he will not be returned to the Muslims. But if a non-Muslim from Makkah al-Mukarramah has to come to Madinah al-Munawwarah, he must be returned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted these conditions, despite it being not in their favor, and he kept to it. He kept to his zaban, when his zaban was given, despite whatever it be, whether it was in their favor or against them, but they kept to their word. This is the beauty of Islam. This is what Islam teaches us. Always, in whatever it be, keep to your word. If you have a problem, make amendments. Speak to the person, ask him for maaf, ask him for respite and time. But do not make a commitment, do not make a promise, and then don't keep to it intentionally. And you have many, many intentional mistakes we also have today. That intentionally we will say it is mistaken, but in reality it was intentional. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi tujhe dekhta hai aasman se. Whatever you do, hidden from the people, Allah Ta'ala is still watching. Alimun bi dhati sudur. He knows what is in your chest. He knows what is in your heart. How do we feel when non-Muslims phone us and tell us that people have not paid for the qurbani right up till now? Qurbani has passed 2-3 months ago, but they haven't paid for it up till now. People have went for Hajj and Umrah. Debts are still upon their heads, but they haven't paid for it up till now. And many other situations. This is carrying on for a long while. Not something new. But a Muslim is a person who keeps to his word. When he has made a commitment, he must keep to it. Allah Ta'ala speaks in the Quran Sharif about a prophet whose name was Dhul Kifl. His actual name was Bishr bin Ayyub. Before him, there was a prophet by the name of Al-Yasa. This prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was aging. Allah Ta'ala instructed him, appoint a successor, a Khalifa, from amongst your people. He must be able to take your responsibility. And whatever you were doing, he must carry out those duties. But he must have three qualities in him. Firstly, يتكفل بصيام جميع نهاري. He must take the responsibility upon himself to fast every day of his life. Secondly, يتكفل بقيام جميع ليالي. Every night he was spending in ibadah. And thirdly, وَأَن يَقْضِيَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَغْضَبَ. He must decide amongst people. When decisions, when problems come to him, he has to make a decision amongst people. لا يغضب. He must not get angry. So he announced this to the people. And who is prepared to be my successor, but must fulfill these three conditions, he must fulfill. A youngster stood up, by the name of Bishr bin Ayyub. He accepted these three conditions. So Nabi al-Yasa, alayhi salatu wasalam, deferred it and delayed it to the next day. The next day, he made the same announcement. The same youngster, Bishr bin Ayyub, stood up and he accepted these responsibilities. On the second day, he called him aside, explained him everything, reconfirmed everything with him, and then he appointed him as his successor. When the Prophet Al-Yasa, alayhi salatu wasalam, passed away, Allah Ta'ala made Dhul Kifl, this youngster Bishr bin Ayyub, Allah Ta'ala made him a prophet. But still he had to keep to those three conditions. Shaitan, always Allah Ta'ala sends shaitan in different ways. Shaitan came to him to test him, to try him out. How truthful was he to his speech and to his commitment? So Shaitan came and complained to him. Obviously, he being a prophet, you should decide amongst people and sort their problems out. So Shaitan came and complained to him that my family, have not yet distributed the inheritance. I deserve a certain share from the estate of a certain person, but they haven't yet distributed it and given me my share. Al-Yasa', this prophet was after Al-Yasa' Zulkifl. The entire morning he used to sit amongst the people, sort their problems out. Whoever had any problems, the entire morning was reserved for that. But the afternoon he used to rest in order for him to make ibadat at night. So the entire morning, shaitan did not come. But he came in the afternoon, at the time when Zulkifl was about to sleep. And he delayed him, right till the entire time was taken up, which is normally sleep previously, the entire time was taken up. Then he told him, Zulkifl told him, that come the next day, but come in the morning. I will see to your problem. Shaitan wanted to test him. As a result, he did not come in the morning. He came again in the afternoon. So Kifal did not get angry again. He listened to his problem. He consoled him, he calmed him. Whatever he had to console him with, he did whatever he could do. And told him, come the next day. But again, come in the morning, not in the afternoon. Now imagine 48 hours. A person fasting every day of his life. Entire night in ibadat. He hadn't slept for 48 hours. The third day, again shaitan did not come in the morning. He came again in the afternoon. This time, Zulkifl, this prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instructed his servant, his doorman, that do not allow anybody to enter the room. Whoever it be, whatever problem it be, I need to rest. Shaitan tried to get through, but that person did not allow him. Shaitan being a jinn, and jinn can do many things. For them a wall is nothing. They can walk through walls. Shaitan then got into the house. With the door being locked, he got into the house. And he knocked at the door from inside. When Zulkifl heard the knocking, he realized that obviously nobody will be knocking from outside. There's someone inside the room and he's seen Shaitan. But still he did not get angry. Shaitan said, I was testing you. Would you keep to your word or not? But yeah, I found that as you had made a commitment to keep to your word, you did not get angry. And you still, whatever, you kept whatever commitment you made previously, you kept to it. That is why Allah Ta'ala appointed you as a prophet. So Allah Ta'ala calls him Zulkifl, a person of responsibility. A person who had some share, some good qualities and principles and scruples in his life. This was Zulkifl Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. In the hadith, Rasulullah has mentioned, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَخِذَيْ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Whosoever takes responsibility to protect and to look after whatever is between his jaws and to protect his private part from haram, أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. I take responsibility that he will get Jannah. Now if Rasulullah has to say that, I take responsibility this person will get Jannah. What a great reward it is. What a great reward and thawab and promise for this person that he will definitely get Jannah. As long as these things are protected. In one hadith Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, a sahabi came to him. Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, مَا أَخْوَفُ مَا تَخَافُ عَلَيَّ. What is that action, that part of a body that you have most fear upon me? Rasulullah ﷺ took out his tongue, held his tongue. فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ وَقَالَ هَذَا. He said this, the tongue. It can lead you to kufr. It can lead you to talaq. It can lead you to haram. It can lead you to so many evils if this is not controlled. One statement a person can make and his wife can be divorced from him forever and forever. He will not be able to reconcile with her. How many instances people give their wife 3 talaq, talaq-i-mughallaza, but it's taken to be 1 talaq, or it is taken to be nothing. One person, when he was explained that you have used your zaban and you have divorced your wife, you have given her 3 divorces. These are the rules. You will not be able to stay with her, and there are many other rules to that. What he replies? I'll meet Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And when I meet Allah Ta'ala, I'll explain it on the day of Qiyamah. This is how we use our zaban. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, Ayatul Munafiqi Salasa. The sign of a munafiq, of a hypocrite, is three. Idha hadatha kadab. When he speaks lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlaf. When he makes a promise, a commitment, he breaks his promise. Wa idha tumina khana. When he's entrusted to something, he betrays the trust. In one hadith, one more condition is mentioned. Wa idha khasama fajr. That when he disputes and he argues, he uses vulgar language and he swears. Whether it be in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be in the haram sharif, whoever it be, he still uses vulgar language, cannot control his tongue. So when he speaks lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. When he's entrusted to something, he betrays that trust. And when he disputes, he uses vulgar language and swearing words. This is a sign of a munafiq. But how common this practice is amongst us. In one hadith Rasulullah has mentioned, إِذَا كَذَبَ الْعَبْدُ تَبَاعَدُ عَنْهُ الْمَلَكُ مِيلًا مِنْ نَتْنِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ. When a person speaks lies, his tongue is misused. He speaks lies. The angel distances himself, goes far away from this person, 1 mile away, مِنْ نَتْنِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ, because of that smell, which we cannot smell, but because of that smell that person's mouth has. He can use all the toothpaste in the world, go to the best dentist in the world, but when he speaks lies, that mouth of his has a stench and smell, and the angel goes away 1 mile away from that person. And how common is lies amongst us. The zaban is not being protected. That is why we find today, Islam is just by name. لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه. Only the name of Islam remains. We call ourselves by the name of Islam and by Muslim, but where is the practice in our lives? One hadith Rasulullah has mentioned, Al-idatu daynun. A promise. A person makes a promise, it is a debt. How a debt should be treated, a promise should be treated in a similar manner. In regards to debts, where a person makes a commitment, he promises the person, but does not fulfill it. Rasulullah has mentioned, even a shaheed, a person who has been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all his sins are forgiven, illa dain, except debts. Rasulullah has mentioned in regards to a shaheed, la wadidtu anni uqtalu fi sabilillah, thumma uhya, thumma uqtal, thumma uhya, thumma uqtal. I love that I be killed in the path of Allah, then given life again, then killed, then given life again, and then killed again, become martyred 3-4 times over, and many more times, be given life again, and then be martyred again. But the same shaheed, which even Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to be, if he has debts upon his head, he has not fulfilled those debts, made commitments and promises, and does not fulfill it, does not pay it out, such a person will not be forgiven of that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want to read the janazah namaz of that person who had debts upon his head and did not fulfill it. A shaheed is a person, in the hadith is mentioned, al-lawnu lawnu dam wa rihu rihu al-misk. The blood, the color of his blood will be the normal color. Wa rihu rihu al-misk. That fragrance that will come out from that blood of a shaheed on the day of Qiyamah will be of musk and amber. But still, that person being of such high status, Allah Ta'ala speaks very high of them in the Quran Sharif. Rasulullah speaks very high of them in hadith. But still, when he has not fulfilled his debts, he will not be forgiven of that. How important it is when we give our zaban to something to fulfill it. Luqman Hakim has mentioned, Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned, that 4 things should not be taken to be trivial and to be taken to be small. Should not be disdained. One is qaraz, one's debts, loans and debts. Second, marad, sickness, it should be treated. Thirdly, adawat, enmity. It may look at a small enmity, it may look something small, but it should be remedied and should be sorted out immediately. And fourthly is nar, is fire. It may seem a small matchstick, it may seem a small spark, but where it can lead to. These 4 things should not be treated as small. My dear respected brothers in Islam, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives us tawfiq that as we claim to be Muslim, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this tongue that we have, we use it in the right places. When we make a commitment and a promise, we keep to that. This is a sign of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign of a Muslim. وَأَخِذَ دَعْوَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ